The Bob Siegel Show on AM 1170. The Answer is sponsored by Bob Siegel.
The Bob Siegel Show is brought to you in part by Primetime Media Group and the law offices of Matthew Simone.
Recurring themes on The Bob Siegel Show can also be found on his online column, Forbidden Table Talk.
It's time now for the Bob Siegel Show, a religious open forum where all questions are welcome. And now, here's your host, Christian apologist, Bob Siegel.
And this is Bob Siegel. So, you'd like to believe in God, but you wonder how Christians can defend the foul mouth of a candidate like Donald Trump. Well, my friend, I don't know if anybody is defending it, but in case you haven't noticed, our choices in this election are rather limited unless we want to stay home and not vote and pat ourselves on the back, all the while turning our republic over to a leftist who would outlaw the First Amendment and the Second Amendment. And yet, even if this were not an election, let me say something about Trump's words caught on video. No, Trump's lewd speech will never be confused with Christian morality, but I want to remind my fellow Christians that self-righteous, sanctimonious responses to an 11-year-old conversation from a man who has expressed regret do not remind anybody of Christianity either. Not when we remember the love and forgiveness of Jesus. Even so, we are not electing a pastor of a church, but rather somebody who has at least expressed concern about the freedoms of Christians being systematically eliminated from the left. Now, as to the allegations of sexual harassment going beyond the speech, they are being disproven one at a time. Here to discuss the election with me, recurring co-host Mike Friedenberg. Mike, welcome to our program.
Thank you, Bob. It's a real honor to be on here tonight, and I'm hoping to encourage some folks that are a little discouraged about the election cycle. I mean, by the time I'm done here, you guys will be 100% convinced that it's all but one, that we've won the election.
Well,
that's my guarantee you tonight there, Bob.
Don't pull a Dick Morris. He got fired from Fox News by making it very clear that Romney was going to win in no uncertain terms.
I'm hardly hearing from him anymore these days. But I do think that we can be a little bit more optimistic than what we're hearing from the Never Trump crowd in terms of Trump's chances.
And the Never Trump crowd has permeated the Republican Party.
Yes. Well, there's the self-described Never Trumpers, and then there's the closet Never Trumpers, such as Paul Ryan, who has gave a very anemic endorsement of Trump and then has gone out of his way time after time to meet with focus groups. I'm sort of being a little bit exaggerating, to meet with focus groups to put together the most damaging, hurtful quote that could be used in campaign advertisements by Democrats against Trump. He has done that time and time again.
What is the actual quote that he's using right now?
Well, one of the ones that comes to my mind is when Trump comes out with every time Trump comes out with a major public policy issue, he contradicts him in public, always, almost every single time. But the one that stands out in my mind is with the business with Trump's very blunt and inarticulate and non-crafty, you know, going after the federal judge Curiel.
Right. And he called it textbook racism.
He basically
said,
this is an example of textbook racism. Right. That has been used over and over again.
I didn't know you were going that far back. And that was so slimy because he knew what Trump meant. Trump meant that maybe with all the resistance he's been getting about the borders, he's talked without a filter and he said he's Mexican. What he should have said is the guy's a member of La Raza, which is an organization that believes the United States should be given back to Mexico, some of the border states.
It's a little bit more complicated than that.
But because, I think Paul Ryan understood that that's what he meant. And by calling it textbook racism, he was just looking after his own career.
I don't even think he was necessarily just looking after his own career. I think he'd said it to damage Trump,
well,
specifically.
Right, but that's looking after his own career.
I will say this. I think Paul Ryan has some principles. One of his principles is that he's a devout you know, sort of ivory tower, libertarian leaning utopianist when it comes to trade thinking. But he actually believes in, he supports, largely supports the status quo we have in trade.
Well, what kind of libertarian country does he think we're going to be living under if Hillary wins the election?
You know what?
She's as far from libertarian
Bob,
as you can get.
I truly do not understand the thinking of the Never Trump crowd.
They seem to be thinking we got to throw this election to keep the Republican Party pure. There will be no Republican Party anymore.
I've had numerous online debates, probably with 100 over since the beginning of the cycle, both in the primaries and even in the general. I could go down every issue. Better on taxes, better on regulation, better on defense, Supreme Court, of course, you know, enforcing the border finally, you know, voter ID laws, you know, having a Supreme Court that will support the idea of voter ID laws. Every single issue that Trump's, the Second Amendment, which Trump is solid on, I go through that and what I hear, and it's the most irrational thing, but I've heard it numerous times from Never Trumpers. He's lying on every single one of the issues. And then I throw back to them and said, really, are you omniscient? Are you God? Do you know for sure that he's lying? I mean, let me throw out this proposition to you, Never Trumpers. What if there's a 10% chance that he's not lying on some of these things? Isn't that better to take that chance than to vote for somebody you know 100% yeah. certain will be bad
well,
on every one of these issues?
We've talked about this before. We can roll the dice not being sure whether he's yes. lying. And maybe he is lying, but we know what Hillary will
do.
What also drives me crazy is the Arizona Republic, and I think it was the Dallas Star, a major newspaper in Texas, both conservative newspapers, and they came out, and they didn't just say, we can't support Trump, so we won't endorse either candidate. That would have bothered me too, but I would have at least understood that. They came out and endorsed Hillary. And the reason they stated for endorsing Hillary was that Trump wasn't conservative enough. Is that... Talk about your textbook definition of racism. That's your textbook definition of insanity.
It, like I said, the irrationality there, there's no rhyme or reason to it. And I know some of the people that are Never Trump personally, smart people, I thought sophisticated, yeah. understand the political process.
I think they're doing the very thing that they hate when liberals do. They're thinking with their feelings and not with their brains.
And so I've had a hard time understanding it. You know, the other day, one of, you know, a person that, you know, that's a very sharp guy, respect him, but he thought it was funny to post a vote of him voting, you know, for a great guy, Vin Scully. Awesome dude. You know, the longtime, you know, broadcaster for the Los Angeles Dodgers. Gem of a guy. But, you know, instead of voting for Trump in the primary, he's going to vote for him. I understand that in California, the state's going to go for Hillary Clinton. And that's
well,
that.
But still, when people, and I've heard this, I've heard a lot of people say, well, since I'm in California, my vote won't matter anyway, so I'll vote my conscience. I think that's kind of a cop-out, because to stand by your convictions, you should do what you would have done, even if your vote did count. And frankly, it's not true that votes in California won't count, because if the Democrats lose, they will claim election fraud. They're responsible for a great deal of election fraud, but they're going to claim election fraud unless Trump wins by a blowout. And that means not only the Electoral College, but it would be good at that time for him to have won the popular vote, which means that the votes in California, in a sense, will count.
It does count. And let's go the other way, a more negative way. If Hillary Clinton wins, the bigger the margin of her popular vote victory, along with the electoral vote, the more mandates she has.
That's right.
So the popular vote does count. And if you've been coming out and making, publicizing anti-Trump stuff, working actively to attack Trump in the general election, you are supporting Hillary Clinton. You can do all the mental gymnastics you want, all the intellectual rationalizations. You are a Hillary Clinton supporter. And I'm going to say this, Never Trump, let's put it this way. I truly believe that if we had had a unified party, we did not have the Never Trump people out there working actively and energetically to undercut his campaign and to damage Trump, we would have hit this section of scandals, these sex scandals, with Trump up by 10 points. Absolutely up by his platforms are so popular. His gaffes would have, yes, he would still have his gaffes, but we would be ahead by 10 points. The damage done by the anti-Trump Republicans and conservatives. Each time somebody, an anti-Trump Republican or conservative speaks out against Trump, it does far more damage than the Hillary Clinton campaign can ever do.
And Mike, if Hillary wins, they are going to own it.
Yeah, they are going to own.
They're going to own the Supreme Court justice. They're going to have to explain to their grandchildren someday that we're not living in a free country anymore because they needed to vote their conscience and feel good about themselves.
And what makes me laugh, and it's sort of a sad way to laugh, is when they talk about the conservative movements being destroyed. You know, and I've been a part of the conservative movement since I was in college, you know, the late 1970s, early 80s. I would definitely say a part of the conservative movement. And I take a look at where we were then and where we are now. Please, I'd like somebody to tell me all our great conservative accomplishments we've covered. The great advances we made in society. We have a bigger federal government, more national debt. We have basically right now you can't talk about same-sex marriage hardly anywhere without being shut down. So same-sex marriage is
fait accompli. Even John Kasich during the primaries was saying it's the law of the land.
Personally, that's fait accompli. We still have abortion on demand through all 9 months.
Well, I'll tell you what the Republicans have accomplished. They took back the House and the Senate, and then cooperated with Obama at every turn, and pretty much gave him a free hand, even when he was giving out unconstitutional executive orders, which they could have challenged and decided not to fund.
We have Obamacare. So destroying the conservative movement, really, really? I know that we have a nice debating society, and I'm not saying it's all bad. I mean, there's people write great articles in places like the Weekly Standard and National Review, and I read them, and they're well-reasoned, well-articulated.
Yeah, but the Weekly Standard and National Review will probably be outlawed by Hillary as hate speech.
But it's... We've been losing the battle big time. And one of the reasons we've been losing the battle is the Republican Party has been absolutely dismal on what it's been doing and looking out for the middle class, the working middle class. The guy that drives a pickup truck that's a union member, that is a hunter, that has an American flag on the back of his truck, he should be voting Republican.
And Trump's bringing those people in.
And he's bringing those people in.
So what do they do? They desert him at the flank.
Well, no, not only do they desert him, but if you look at the Never Trump conversations about this, they despise these people. They're Trump-tards. They're idiots. They use the most derogatory comment about a potential new good base of hardworking American people.
Yeah.
And Trump brought them in. So that's the other factor is Trump's got his gaffes, but I'm going to say this, is that he has made states potentially competitive that none of the other Republican candidates could have had a chance to do. And if you throw the unified Republican Party behind him, he would have been sitting very strong enough to weather these storms. Now, I'm not saying he's not going to weather this storm because this election has been weird. It's like no other ones we've seen.
He does beat the odds. Every time they say he's finished, like a phoenix, he tends to fly out of the
air. And he's risen. And let's be honest. If you are a Republican and you're surprised that Trump was a womanizer and that there's allegations of women coming out against him, come on.
All right. Well, we'll put a little more explanation into that when we return. You're listening to The Bob Siegel Show.
You only need to listen to this radio program once to figure out that Bob has very strong opinions on a wide variety of issues. But one of Bob's strongest passions is freedom of speech itself, even when such speech challenges his own convictions. So feel free to send Bob a comment or a thought-provoking question. You can reach Bob on Facebook, Twitter, or questions@bobsiegel.net.
When you trust the care of your children to others, it's comforting to know they share the same Christian values, that what you teach your children at home is also taught in their preschool environment. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is an all-inclusive preschool where the staff ministers to all children of all abilities, including children with special needs, through a curriculum developed by the owners and designed for the preschool-aged child 3 to 5. During these preschool years, your children will make important developmental gains, as well as social and emotional development that'll be the foundation for their overall success in life. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is a state-licensed, Bible-believing, Bible-teaching preschool and a nonprofit 501c3 organization. Contact us now at WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com and secure a space for your preschooler. WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com or call 619-440-1044. 619-440-1044. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool.
For those of you who say we can't vote for Trump because we must keep the Republican Party pure, A, that ship sailed long ago. The compromises and spinelessness of our Republican leadership left the vacuum that created Donald Trump. And two, forget about the Republican Party. It is what it is. It is the Republic itself that we may not have much longer. Joining me today, guest co-host Mike Friedenberg.
Yes, Bob. So it does make me laugh about the purity of the Republican Party, the purity of the conservative movement. And, you know, as somebody's written for National Review, California Political Review, you know, and down the board, right down the line, a conservative who really does believe the conservative values and principles are the right for our country. I nonetheless recognize that we have done a miserable job at effectively stopping things or reversing things in the conservative movement. And if we take a look at Donald Trump here, I mean, here's a guy who's had the courage to come out and, you know, he's pro-life. He's not articulate about speaking about it. He made a mistake in speaking about it, but he has come out very solid in the pro-life position. He is very solidly Second Amendment. He is for reducing business regulations. He is for reducing the corporate tax from 35% to 15%. He believes in voter ID, having to have a... Because the value of citizenship is so valuable that you should at least be responsible enough to be able to present an ID that you are who
and
you are.
And on that, when he says that the election is rigged and people laugh at him, I want to remind everybody that there are judges who put out mandates. I don't know the count, but there's many states now that by court order are not even allowed to ask for voter ID. That sure sounds like election fraud to me.
It's certainly laying down the foundation for election fraud, mass
And they're
election
finding
fraud.
All kinds of ballots out there with the names of dead. Did you know people rise from the dead every election?
Yeah.
And join us throughout the election. And then they go back to their coffins and they come out again during the next election.
So I don't know if we're going to see a massive case of election fraud, but if something's close, I would be concerned about, you know, in tipping point areas that would be worth being concerned about. So here we have a guy that's now he does what has become Republican orthodoxy. He has varied from that a bit. And the major issue, and I will say that this is my theory, I'm going to say it over again because I believe it, is the trade issue. I believe that the Republican Party had a more conservative position when they were Ronald Reagan's position, which included, as needed, on a limited basis, was to use tariffs in order to get other countries to behave and respect us. And he did that. That was a true conservative position. And since then, we've moved away toward this sort of libertarian, utopianist, unrealistic view of the world trade. But it has become the standard in the Republican Party. And that, I believe, is the one major issue why he has lost the Republican Party establishment. They're terrified. They're in bed with crony capitalists. You know, the money, the dollars coming from these companies that are shipping jobs overseas. I believe that's the number one issue. And you got the people that just out and out have financial interests. It's that pure and crass. And then you have people for ideological reasons believe that his view is wrong on Trump on the trade issue. They believe, and I believe they're wrong ideologically. I understand that they believe he's wrong on it. But if you do not understand the religion, Bob, that it is, this idea, this free trade issue and sort of the libertarian view of the market where there's this omniscient, all-powerful entity. I had an epiphany 20-something years ago when I realized that I was actually sort of engaging in idol worship in the way I viewed the market. And since then, I think I've come to a more balanced, truly more conservative view of what the market do. I'm still for the market. I still believe that the creativity individuals do this, but there's a balance. You look at other factors rather than whether you can get something cheaper. There's more to life than getting something cheaper if you're also losing a job and you're putting somebody on the welfare rolls and you're destroying somebody's livelihood. And, you know, there's a spiritual dimension. There's a whole lot more to it than what you hear from some people that buy into this libertarian view of economics.
Right. Now, a lot's happened in this pivotal, turbulent election since you were last on the show, Mike. I want to catch up on some things. One of them is that Trump did a much better debate last week than he did in his first one. Also, there's the WikiLeaks. But let's start with the biggest elephant in the room, whereas this time last week, everybody was talking about the Trump video where Trump said, but I was just talking. It was locker room talk. He apologized for it. Now, since then, there have been, I think we're up to, 10, 11 women that have come out with allegations. I know of at least two of them who've been disproven. What are you hearing? What kind of information do you have about that?
Here's the thing is that I think you have to really think about this and do some real critical thinking about this because trying to address each one of these individuals is a losing battle. You can't do it.
We need to look at the fishy timing where they all kind of came out.
There's more to it
than
that. But yeah, and I don't know. I'm not God. I don't know 100% for certain the truthfulness or the untruth on these allegations. However, I will say this. Given that we're in the last 25, 30 days, I think that a shrewd person, a person that has wisdom and is thoughtful, is exercising what I would call extreme skepticism over some of these claims. And there has been some that have been disproved, but let me just kind of frame this in a way that I think will make sense to people and allow them to maybe get a different perspective and step back and look at it from the big picture. Given the thousands of women that Trump has had interactions with over the decades, and the shallow celebrity fame-seeking culture that Trump was part of, That whole Hollywood crowd, Access Hollywood, the Apprentice.
And given what a litigious culture we are.
Would not the real shocking story, given all this, would not the real shocking story be that the press could not find some small, actually really teeny tiny percentage of women willing to lie about, to reinterpret or reimagine their interactions with Trump to gain fame and hero status with the leftist press and the leftist Hollywood culture?
Well, exactly. How many decades has he been in the public spotlight and had his own TV show? And we've never heard anything like that. He lived the kind of playboy life where we easily could have imagined, yet it didn't happen. And then all of a sudden, within a matter of days, we get about 11. And by an amazing coincidence, it's right when the WikiLeaks come out. Okay, hold that thought. We'll be right back. You're listening to The Bob Siegel Show. Bob Siegel. They say a man's home is his castle. So when it comes to the wiring of your house, you don't want to mess around with some unknown electrician. Instead, do what I did. Call W&S Electric Incorporated. W&S specializes in both contracting and repair. From troubleshooting to remodeling to circuit breakers and fuses, W&S takes a skilled but personal interest in your home at affordable rates. I know the owner, Wayne Klingenhofer, personally, and I can testify firsthand to his integrity. Call 619-447-8785. That's 447-8785 for W&S Electric Incorporated. License number 480539, W&S Electric.
Is there really proof for the resurrection of Christ? How could a loving God send people to hell? Why does the Bible call premarital sex a sin? How will God judge the people who never heard of Jesus? These are but some of the critical concerns keeping honest seekers from considering Christianity. In an interesting, down-to-earth style, Bob Siegel tackles the hardest, most painfully honest questions. Rather than shoving these topics under the rug, Bob shows respect for his readers by providing detailed and compelling explanations. This book will be enjoyed by both skeptics and Christians. I'd like to believe in Jesus, but... Available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com.
To discuss this very unusual, very critical, very turbulent election year is my regular rotating co-host, Mike Friedenberg.
So, Bob, get back to how to handle these allegations. I think it is a losing battle. Unfortunately, I think Trump has personality that he may try to do each and every...
If he uses up his time in this next debate to talk about that, I think he'll be making a big mistake.
No, it's a losing battle.
He has surrogates who could do that for him.
And he does, and I also think it's a mistake for the surrogates to be spending all that much time on each one of these individual allegations. It's kind of, it's what I would suggest if they do have a one or two that they can really highlight how poor a job the media did in vetting these allegations, highlight that. You highlight and say, listen, you basically go back and say, you know what, I'm actually kind of surprised that with the hundreds of reporters out there trying to dig dirt up on me and the thousands of women I've had contact with, that they could only come up with a tiny percentage like this of people willing to, you know, get some,
and don't you think
get their 10 seconds of fame.
Don't you think that with these allegations and with the video, the media had that and held on to it and they waited for the right time to release
it? This is a coordinated smear campaign.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So basically, you basically show a couple examples. Just like you said, Bob, and when you debate people on religious things, they bring up 50 issues. You say,
knowing you can't address all 50
answer one or two of them.
Minutes.
Then you say, by the way, but regardless, it's a losing battle. So
well, for the sake of our audience, though, just since we wanted to encourage people, let me talk quickly about two of them.
Sure.
And maybe, Mike, you know of some others. The woman on the plane, I think this one goes back 30 years.
Which about 35.
35 years. And Trump, when Trump defends himself and he says, I mean, look at her. Can you imagine me coming? I mean, that's not a very good way for him to defend himself. That's like the kind of thing you'd see in a Saturday Night Live skit. However, having said that, I listened to her carefully. First of all, she seemed very happy talking about it. And then she says he started out by groping, I won't get graphic, by groping her upper chest region. And then she says, and if that's all he had done, that would have been okay. But when he went for the lower regions, and I'm thinking, where did they get her? Okay, last night on Justice with Judge Jeanine, which I think is one of the best programs on TV, she interviewed a man who's not a Trump fan, not very political. He was in England, and he heard that lady's interview. He had been on that same plane, sitting in first class. He said Trump never touched her, and all he remembers is this lady going on and on about what an honor it was to sit with Trump. He flew all the way to America just to share that. Another one of the women, and I believe she was somewhat connected with one of, if not one of his pages, one of his TV shows. This was her male cousin who says how much she kept talking about, how much she admired Donald Trump. And again, she's talking about something that supposedly happened a number of years ago, but very recently she asked Trump to come be a guest at her restaurant. You'd have to wonder why she'd do that if this was somebody who'd sexually harassed her. And then when Trump turned it down, her cousin saw how hurt and disappointed she was. And he said she has a history of suing people and very quickly calling things sexual harassment. Now, that's two out of a lot of them. I suspect that in the course of time, we're going to find this about everybody, but we don't have time. We're running out of time. So I think Trump should just address it once. It's probably going to be one of the first questions that comes up at the debate. Hillary's going to come back to it again and again. Our media, who won't talk to the many women that were involved in Bill Clinton's life, are giving these people 30 minutes apiece. I think I looked at some of the stats last week. On one night, NBC spent zero amount of time talking about the WikiLeaks on Hillary. The others spent under a minute, ABC something like 30 seconds. They gave hours and hours to the thing about Trump and the sexual harassment.
I saw very in-depth interviews with Anderson Cooper and one of the accusers, you know, making the allegations. Here's the woman you were talking about, Zevros, had been on The Apprentice.
This is the one with the cousin.
Right. Uh-huh. And John Barry is her cousin. And he basically came out that she, you know, he, knowing her, he felt that she was trying to get back into the limelight like she was in The Apprentice. And up through April of this year, she had corresponded speaking, actually promoting Trump's brand through a restaurant and you know, being a very positive thing there. But when he refused to show up there, you know, listen, seems like she's an opportunist. And let's just be frank. If you come forward and accuse Donald Trump of this, you're an immediate celebrity. You're a courageous woman.
Oh, you could have a book deal. You could have a movie deal.
You know, you will be fawned over. You'll be feted. If you come forward, now we saw this with Bill Clinton. Even back then, I mean, the press, if you came forward and accused Bill Clinton, you were trashed and destroyed. The media had no interest in helping these women back when they came
and
forward
the
to accuse Bill Clinton.
Play dirty. They run a notorious hit machine. They play to win. Even poor Trump. Who's a fighter. I think he met his match in the Clintons. I don't think he imagined how low they could possibly go.
Listen, the women are talking about, you know, he's a billionaire and he has all this power. You know what? Of course, he has more power than you and I. He's got billions of dollars. Yes, I understand that. However, if you want to talk about a powerful organization, the Clinton machine makes Trump's base of power look like a pike. There is no comparison between the Clinton machine and what Trump could do as a private citizen. The Clinton, with all their connections of government, with intelligence assets. Here's a story, and this is a bone-chilling story. Kathleen Wiley, one of the accusers of Bill Clinton. Here's a story she told. You know, the media didn't really ever want to run with it, and some people have heard it, some have not. She talks about her cat being found dead, 1-year-old male cat being found dead, and two men approaching her saying, "Oh, sorry about your cat. That was terrible, wasn't it? Oh, gosh, what happened to your tires?"
This is like The Godfather with the horse's head.
What happened to your tires? Three out of her four tires have been slashed. Then they named
her children.
Each one of her children.
That's right, yeah.
Okay, now, that is bone chilling. And that's the kind of stuff you have when you're talking, people, it's when you're talking about trillions of dollars, you're talking about the Supreme Court. We're talking about high stakes. People kill each other down on the corner of, you know, of Watts over, you know, a bag of cocaine. I mean, we're talking. So the thing is, we are very high stakes. I have no specific claims about anything, but I'm just saying that these are very high stakes. So now I do want to highlight somebody that I think is very courageous. And that was the Miss Teen USA Nebraska back when Trump was owning the pageants. And she basically just came out and went after the media, slamming them for the witch hunt on Trump. She said that Trump was a perfect gentleman with her. And further, she talked about being approached, as I mentioned, by a CBS, ABC producer asking her for dirt on Trump.
Oh, that's interesting. So that what we could logically suspect, we actually have corroboration for.
Well, no. What I'm saying is there's no corroboration. What I'm saying is
corroboration that the networks would go out of their way to look for the salacious stuff.
They've had, collectively, if you look at the media organizations that oppose Trump, hundreds of reporters have been talking to hundreds, if not thousands, of people that have interacted with Trump, hoping to find something.
You know, Trump's fighting a 5-6 front war. He's fighting the Clintons and the Democratic Party. He's also fighting the left-wing media. He's fighting the Republicans. He's fighting the Obama administration and the Justice Department. We'll be right back. Looking for a church that will not only challenge you, but help you to feel like a part of a family? Why not try Skyline Church, located in Rancho San Diego near 94 in Hamishaw? I can testify firsthand to Skyline because I myself am a member. When you visit, tell them Bob Siegel sent you and ask about that free week-long trip to Bermuda for first-time visitors. They'll look at you like they don't know what you're talking about, and you will not, in fact, get any free trip to Bermuda, but you'll still be glad for a chance to experience Skyline Church. You don't want to go to Bermuda anyway. Too hot. And people who approach that area have been known to disappear, but they don't disappear at Skyline. Those who visit usually can't wait to come back. Skyline Church, Sunday morning services at 8:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. To 1170 The Answer. I'm your host, Bob Siegel, joined today by my good friend, Mike Friedenberg.
So, Bob, before I talk about some reasons to have a little bit of optimism about, you know, winning on November 8th, I do want to do a shout out to Natasha Rickley. She is that former Miss Teen Nebraska, the one that that did come out and defend Trump. And I was going to read something from her. This is from her. I'm going to be very truthful and let ABC know that Donald Trump was an absolute gentleman. I never witnessed any inappropriate behavior whatsoever the entire 2 weeks that I participated in the pageant. I'm sure that none of my interviews will make the news since I have nothing but positive things to say about my experience with Donald. I do find it interesting and important for people to know that these are the depths the media is going for to get their smear campaign. So that's what she said. So basically, there is no investigative journalism from the left-stream media. Some people call it the mainstream. Let me just make a pitch to people out there. When you call it the mainstream media, you give it way too much credit. I call it the left-stream media. There is no effort on the left-stream media to do any investigation on Hillary Clinton's potentially, well, I believe, very clear-cut, felonious actions. Any investigation on her duplicity, on her positions, nothing.
And there have actually been many women from the pageants who've come forward. Carrie Prejean would be.
There's many other women.
Now, I do want to say this to the audience. As you know, if you've been following the election on my show, Trump was not my first choice or second or third. When he got the nomination and I said I'm now supporting him, I promise that I'm not going to stand by him and pretend that his mistakes or his problems are not his problems. If they ever prove that he sexually harassed a woman, I'm not going to deny it just because this is the candidate I want to vote for. I'm just telling you right now, there's zero proof. There's a lot of allegation. It's very fishy, suspicious timing. I think anybody could have predicted that this would happen.
Exactly. And listen, and here, but I'll go a little further than you. I believe that Trump has made advances that were unwanted with women. I absolutely believe that. And I believe that it's possible that he went someplace that they didn't want him to go. He thought they were there. There was ambiguity. You were talking about an environment, this Hollywood,
but I want to be clear on what his words were. On that video when he said, I can get away with it because I'm a celebrity, he didn't say he was using harassment or coercion. He was saying that people will let him do it.
Right.
Is it possible that there were times he was assuming they were let? It's possible.
I mean, here's the thing is, Trump spent a lot of time pursuing dates and pursuing sexual relationships with women. There's no doubt about that. This guy does not have a Christian perspective on marriage, out of marriage and sex and things like that. Now, has he maybe changed in the last, 10 years? He's been married consistently in a lot of shows. Maybe he's changed a bit. Who knows? But I'm not going
to. Yeah, it occurs to me that some of these could be true. If they ever prove it, though, let me be really clear. If they ever prove that he did this, I'll call him what he is. I'll call him a slime ball. But it will mean that we now have two evil candidates instead of one.
Well,
Bob, have the choice of voting for the lesser of two evils.
I've actually
there's
been
no
able
getting
to bring
around
this up.
That.
Here, let me just also mention just another way to context. We are operating in an environment where the media has put forward and the culture has put forward a feminist view of what is normal interactions between men and women. And I think it's distorted things horribly. It's hard to have discussions that are common sense discussions about the way men and women interact.
And somebody
together.
Who doesn't have a politically correct filtered mouth might talk about that and not even stop to think of the consequences.
So let's just say he's no saint, But with that,
we want to be clear, neither one of us, if any of those allegations are true, neither one of us is justifying it or rationalizing. But we would still have to go back and say, well, what are your choices?
I'm still going to be voting for Donald Trump because, let me just say this. Yeah, that was bad. That's wrong. But I'm going to tell you something. You know what I find very vulgar? I find vulgar the partial birth abortion that Hillary Clinton supports from time of birth to time of conception to time of birth with public funding. There is nothing more vulgar than that. And you have to get a sense of perspective what we're talking about. What I call vulgar is for an administration that he's part of, the Obama administration, while our men are in Benghazi fighting for their lives to defend the consul personnel, fighting for lives, watching by a live drone feed, they're having a political discussion about what's the best position to do from a political perspective. What will the fallout?
And then, then lying about it afterwards.
That's vulgar. All this other stuff, I prefer not to have it, but I'm still voting for Trump, barring, I'm going to keep it in perspective.
Well, and Mike, it's a sad time in our culture. We don't know about the allegations. It looks like they're being disproven. We do know he has a big mouth and a foul mouth and an insulting mouth. But what a commentary on our politically correct times where we've grown numb to evil but hypersensitive to words.
Yeah.
And the only thing we know for a fact, the only thing we can incriminate Trump with are his words. So if we stick to the fact and stick to the words, he was still losing popularity because people react more to words than reacting to downright evil.
And we're not hearing about the WikiLeaks, and the press is not covering
that. How many aren't they into the thousands with the WikiLeaks by now? I mean,
I think it's actually tens of thousands of emails that were into the WikiLeaks.
And it's just everything you ever suspected about Hillary Clinton has been proven.
Anti-Catholic bigotry, anti-evangelical bigotry, talking about, two-faced, lying about her position on trade.
Telling
the Wall Street crowd that she's for open trade and these kind of trade agreements, and telling the public she's against substantive public policy.
Saying that she has public positions and private positions, and conversations with Obama, who said he never even heard about her private server until he heard it in the news, which tells us why the Justice Department would not prosecute, because he knows he'd go down with her.
I think that you're probably right there. But let me just give it, there's a few reasons I think that we can take a look at the polling right now and some reasons we could have some hope about November 8th. First of all, Rasmussen poll came out, and it showed up Trump had climbed back up to +2. Okay, Rasmussen. Some people say that has a Republican bias. That's fine. But just 4 days earlier, before the impact of a second debate came in, he was down -7. When that second debate was fully factored into the poll, he moved to +2.
And he really did a good job in that second debate.
Maybe most importantly, they've showed that his support among African Americans has climbed from 9% to 24% in the Rasmussen poll.
I love, that's another thing. He's going after the African Americans like Republicans never have. And when he goes to them and he says, why not try something new? What have you got to lose? Look at the way you've been treated.
One poll, but it is a legitimate, scientifically conducted poll. Okay, so I'm just going to say that's some good news. The ABC, Washington Post just came out with their latest poll, and it shows Trump down by 4 points. Think about that.
But that's significantly different than last week.
Think about just how the savage beating he's taken to be down only 4 points, almost within the margin of error. But we'll continue this discussion.
Okay, we'll be back for one more segment. Bob Siegel. I've been on the radio for many years, but let me tell you about a voice I've learned to appreciate far more than any radio announcers, Fred Falduti of Realty Executives All Area. Now, why do I care so much about Fred's voice? Because not long ago, Fred's voice spoke the following words.
Bob, I have some good news for you. They accepted your offer.
That's right. Fred Falduti just sold my house. With words like those, who needs radio? Folks, I'm telling you, choosing the right realtor is no small task. Fred took a personal interest in my situation, treating me less like a customer and more like a member of the family. And Fred's been doing this since 1994. Realty Executives All Area has sold thousands of homes locally.
Our footprints are throughout San Diego County, and we are proud of our accomplishments of assisting home sellers and buyers like you. Over the years, we've managed hundreds of real estate transactions and have encountered just about every kind of challenging situation possible.
That's it, folks. That's the voice that will sell your home. Whether buying or selling, the man you want is Fred Falduti with Realty Executives All Area. 619-401-2150. That's 619-401-2150. We radio hosts love to talk, but let's face it. When have we ever sold your home? Fred Falduti will.
Not sure when to try an unusual new novel? Let the customers speak for themselves. Here is another Amazon customer review for Bob Siegel's latest book, The Dangerous Christmas Ornament. While there is nothing in this book that would stop you from giving it to or reading it to your kids, this book will certainly hold an adult's interest as well. The Dangerous Christmas Ornament has it all. Magic, talking cats, bullies who get their comeuppance, fun dialogue, and a good story. Do not let the title fool you. While Christmas does play a prominent role, this is really not a Christmas story, and it can be read at any time of the year, except February 31st. The Dangerous Christmas Ornament, available on Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com.
Well, if Hillary wins, it may not totally destroy our culture. You may still get to hear great groups like ZZ Top, but you won't have any more First Amendment. You won't have any more Second Amendment. But at the moment, we do. So we'll use our First Amendment freedoms to continue talking. Joining me today, Mike Friedenberg.
Okay. So just going, I want to go back to talking about the polls, but I also want to ask folks to ask themselves a rhetorical question. I believe it's rhetorical. Whoa. Who has more courage right now? A woman coming out and supporting Donald Trump or a woman coming out and trashing Donald Trump? I'm just going to leave it at that. You answer the question yourself. So let's talk about the polls a little bit more. So there was the ABC Washington Post poll that showed him down by 4 points. It's pretty amazing. That's close to within the margin of error. I mean, this candidate is more resilient than any other candidate I can think of in the history of the country. So this sheer resiliency is off the charts. With his own mistakes, his own shooting himself to the foot, you add into the Never Trumpers and the anti, and the Republican establishment,
the whole five front war,
the whole establishment, for him to be sitting here at 4 points now. I said he's up at 2 points in Rasmussen. Briefly, he dipped down into the red with the USC LA Times polls. He's back up plus one with the LA Times USC poll. These are selected polls. I'm cherry picking. There's polls that show I'm taking a beating. There's a poll that showed him at minus 11. I don't believe the poll at minus 11 for him. But that's some words of encouragement there. That at least there's some polls we can point to.
What's your opinion of the Brexit effect?
Well, see, that was going to be my next point. Okay, Brexit type phenomenon and movement. Okay, the Brexit wasn't focused on one single individual, though Nigel Farage obviously was a figurehead for it. It was a broader movement. So discrediting a single person couldn't bring it down. However, there is a lot of parallels there. There is a tremendous frustration with the status quo, a tremendous frustration with the corruption, the ceding of national sovereignty, the unrestricted immigration, the lack of concern for the impact on the working people. All of that's there. And what happened with the Brexit is that the reason it showed up in the polls is people that had not voted in a long time or had never voted at all. I think Nigel Farage, and I'm going to go with Nigel on this, now I've been independently verified, said something like 2 million people like that came out and voted. That's in a country as small as England, as new the United Kingdom. So that's one. I believe there will be some effect there. How much is it worth? Is it worth a point, 2 points? There's going to be there. The other huge phenomenon, which it's hard to track this, but I'm going to mention something. And what I'm going to talk about is social desirability bias, or some people call it, for Trump, it's the reverse Bradley effect. In December of 2015, Morning Consult, a very credible research firm, interviewed 2,397 registered Republicans and Republican-leading independents over a week in mid-December. When they asked who they were going to support via the internet, and they broke them off into control groups, you know, scientifically. 38% said they would support Trump over the internet. In live phone interviews, only 32% said they would support him. Now, when they did live, a live voice on the end on a phone, when they did an automated phone interview with an automated, you know, tele-response, it climbed to 36%. So what this means is that, and what here's another thing, is they found that with college educated, either what college degrees or college education, 10%, there was a 10% gap between what they said on the internet and what they were willing to say to a live interviewer. So that showed they were sort of like embarrassed to be sorting Donald Trump. His social desirability in certain groups of Republicans and other parts of the site is very, it's embarrassing to say you support him. And has that was December of 2015. So let me ask what I think is a rhetorical question again. Has Donald Trump's social desirability gone up or down since December of 2015? Bob, what's the answer?
Well, it would be down.
It's down. So
how do we explain that he's
still my point is, is it possible that when faced with a live interviewer, that people are even more embarrassed to say how they're gonna actually vote? My point is that this people not saying how they're gonna really vote on the phone could even go up even higher. Now there's polls that I don't know how big this phenomenon is gonna be, but I'm gonna say, especially among women, I think that there's a possibility that women may be affected by this phenomenon greatly as well, because they take a look at things. They don't like Hillary. They realize that Hillary is no champion of women, but they realize that all the public media out there, it's hard to say they're going to support Trump because of the allegations. But they might just go vote for him.
People don't want to read through thousands of emails or even hear a discussion. They just hearing one juicy thing on a recording, that makes a big difference with people.
Oh, yeah. And then there's the WikiLeaks. Now, the other thing that's to be positive about is there's still a lot of WikiLeaks coming out. Tons of them.
And those are being timed,
and there
too.
Is some other things coming out. Potentially a video on, and I don't know any details on it, but there's still some time for some things to hit that could eventually start to make some traction. So by conventional wisdom, by looking at the data, I think, you know, you can't call a person crazy for saying the election's over. They can make a good case, but I think that this election has been so unconventional, so bizarre in many respects.
He's beat the odds at every turn. Throughout the primary, they constantly predicted
and
he would be
this
out.
This guy is incredibly resilient. And this is a guy, if you think about it, when people really think about it, you know, are they truly surprised that there's some allegations against him right now?
And if it's like you said, the surprise is that it hasn't come out 30 years ago.
Well, and it's also, it could also be surprising by the small, relatively small number, because in that shallow Hollywood fame-seeking culture, which he was immersed, there was a lot of women there that were looking for their 10 seconds of fame.
And by an incredible coincidence, they all came out within 3 days. I mean,
Listen, Bob, the release of that video was timed. They had the video. There's no doubt they had the video beforehand. And it was very, very calculated. They realized that they could use that video to anchor all the other accusations.
Well, there go all claims to journalistic integrity, because if it's, the people have a right to know, then the people had a right to know the moment you had it in your hand.
Of course, and
it
didn't happen that way.
You don't time it and decide when
it didn't happen that way. Somebody made a decision to hold it, and then they knew that this would provide a great anchor, because when you hear the women, it's almost like they've been coached. They almost use the exact same language that Trump used.
And when a woman starts crying while she's testifying, that's the end. That's it. People. But since we do react to recordings, I do want to point to a Hillary recording. This wasn't about her husband, Bill. When she was an attorney, she defended a guy accused of raping a 13-year-old girl, and she knew the guy was guilty and laughed about how he passed the lie detector test anyway. Laughed. And that's something that you can hear, you can listen to. You can't say, Bill Clinton's not running. This was Hillary Clinton. Okay, Mike, we'll probably have you on one more time before the election. But thanks. A little more optimistic today, but we'll just have to see what happens.
We'll try to be optimistic in the face of the blizzard of negative, you know, purposefully negative media coverage on this whole campaign.
It's been quite a roller coaster ride. We'll see you next week.
Bob Siegel Show on AM 1170, The Answer, is sponsored by Bob Siegel.